Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate you listening to the podcast. Make sure you subscribe and give us some feedback. Also, the Bald-Faced Truth podcast, it's brought to you by Shoe Mill, my favorite shoe store with locations in Portland and Salem and online at shoemill.com. Shoe Mill, where we put the world at your feet.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to the Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
So funny, the characters that are hanging around the home studio just got tattled on by the 5-year-old. The 17-year-old, as you know, plays volleyball, and she had a bunch of volleyball stickers on her door, on her bedroom door. The 5-year-old wanted to put a bunch of stickers on her door because she's like, hey, my sister has a sticker. So I said, no, nobody's having stickers on their door. So I took a couple of the volleyball stickers off the 17-year-old's door. She didn't notice. The 5-year-old ratted me out in a way that was exactly how you think it sounded. So the 17-year-old's like, what are you doing? I said, you didn't even notice. How big of a deal could it be? Whose doors are those anyway? Dad's? Mom's? Help me out here. Nick Daschle of the Oregonian, OregonLive.com, joining us. First world problems over here at my household.
Yeah, at what age do they actually get a name? Do I still call mine the 25-year-old and the 20-year-old? Or?
Yeah, because I don't give them names because they didn't choose to be on radio. I did. So I will allow them one day when they go, hey, Dad, I need a name, I'll give them a name. But the little one, the 3-year-old said, the four, says that we can use her name. So she's Sojourner, Soji. So
she signed off on it.
My parents never would have let me put a sticker on my door. They would have been like, you're ruining the door, you know? But I pretty much ruined everything else by putting Sports Illustrated covers. I put every Sports Illustrated cover on my wall. There were so many holes, staple holes in my wall. My parents, it looked like Swiss cheese.
Well, I grew up in a house with, I have 8 brothers and sisters, and we lived in three of us in one bedroom, 4 of us in the other bedroom, so...
Wow!
As you can imagine, it was a circus.
What was that like?
Well, I was the oldest, and there was 3 brothers, and we were 3 of the 4 oldest. So me and my other brother, we used to gang up on our youngest brother, and you know there were lots of things going on. But,
I like
but,
that.
But we had one bathroom. Can you imagine the day's crowd dealing with one bathroom, 10 people or whatever, however many? Oh my God. I mean, I don't even remember it being a problem, but I could see it being a problem now.
You know what though? I think you learn things. It's like sports teaches you conflict resolution. It teaches you how to be a good teammate. I think when you grow up in a family, and there were 4 kids in our household, so it wasn't yours, but we had one bathroom with 4 of us. You know, we had to kind of learn to work together a little bit. With 8, you have to really work together.
Well, we also had 20 acres, too. So, I mean, it wasn't like we didn't have room to roam. I mean, if you had to go, you could always go outside, I guess. But we had a lot of room to roam around. So, I don't remember it being a big deal, but I'm just thinking now, my kids, I've mentioned to my kids before, and they just, you know, their heads would explode if they even had to be in the same bedroom together.
Let's talk Reser Stadium in Oregon State. Not to change the subject, but I'm changing it. Let's talk Reser Stadium. I got this
you're,
season.
You're wondering if there's going to be more than 10 people in Reser Stadium anytime soon?
Well, I just got the I got that season ticket holder survey that they sent out to their season ticket holders, and I kind of want to go through some of the questions and then maybe, you know, kick it around with you and, like, why are they asking some of these questions? One of the first questions on that survey was, why do you not attend more Oregon State home football games? And they have like 50 different answers, and you know, ranging from things like the cost to attend, game start times, lack of family-oriented offerings, parking difficulties, poor concessions, fan behavior, quality of opponents, stadium location, team performance. Why do you think? Is there any one answer? Because the perception here I get is that they ask me to select all that apply. I want to select them all.
Yeah. I kind of think two sort of stand out more than anything else. And, you know, the time of game is obviously a big deal. The students love the night game, but the older fans, not so much. I mean, I think that's a big deal. But the other big deal is just the time it takes. I mean, if you're coming from Portland, it's a 2 to 2.5 hour slog if you're getting, with busy traffic. You can't just get to the game 15 minutes ahead of time. I mean, it's a 10 to 12 hour commitment for a football game. So I would think those two are probably, right at the head of the list. And I don't think, a new West Side stadium is going to fix that. That's an issue that, I don't know how you fix, but, I think in the stadium itself, I think that, the two things that seem to be most important, well, at least to me, would be, leg room and choice of food. I mean, those two seem to
but here's
stand out
like,
you're in the stadium.
I think they need to renovate the West Side. I think it's a high priority thing. But I also, I hope they're not listening to this, because the dirty secret is, I think if they didn't change a damn thing and they just won 10, 11, or 12 games a year, it probably wouldn't matter. People would fill up that stadium and it wouldn't matter. So, but because they don't win 10, 11, 12 games, I do think it matters, because the perception of Oregon State as a brand, I think, is affected by everybody who goes into the stadium and kind of looks over at the old 1970s style overhang and the old side of the Reser Stadium, and they go, ooh, this is a university that isn't very cutting edge, and it kind of affects the brand of the university a little bit that way.
Yeah, I've always been curious just how much it means to recruits too. I my sense is they don't care that much. So yeah, I mean, it's strictly a fan thing. And I mean, you're right. If they did win 10 games a year, I think they'd show up at the seats were metal benches, but, boy, it's a tricky one, because, I mean, this is going to be as Scott Barnes has said repeatedly, the most expensive capital project in Oregon State University history. And, I mean, you can't afford to spend $175 million on, six home games. It's got to be way more than that. And so it's a tricky one. But, yeah, it does reflect a little bit on – I think it reflects a little bit on the university, because – you're sitting on the West Side, you're obviously, you're experiencing it. And if you're sitting on the other side, you're seeing it.
Yes.
So, you're right to some degree on that.
You are the one person that, I was broadcasting from Reser Stadium, I think it was last season, and you said, hey, I'm over here early. Let's go take a walk and get something to eat on campus. I had been in the state of Oregon, 18 years? I had never walked beyond really about where the practice facility was and maybe the basketball facility is on campus, maybe Gill. I'd never really crossed the train tracks and walked into campus and saw how beautiful it was. And I was blown away at all the brick and the bright green grass. And I was like, this is beautiful. Like, in a lot of ways, Oregon State's campus is better looking than Oregon's campus. But if you're in that football stadium, all you have to go on is, ooh, it's like 1970 around here. It's like a wood paneled, station wagon passing by.
Yeah, when I'm down there, to do my work, I'll spend a whole I'll walk all the way around campus during the day at some point, just because I like walk around campus. But yeah, what's around the stadium, it's okay, but it's nothing special. It certainly doesn't look like the middle of campus, which is spectacular.
Nick Daschle of the Oregonian is with us. You hit on something. It's 6 football games. Scott Barnes was on the show earlier this week, and I know you've talked to the athletic director there at Oregon State a whole bunch. He pretty much said that it's got to be multi-purpose. The campus is going to have use. Students have to have access to this thing on non-football game days. Maybe a student health center that's located in the bottom of the west side of the renovation. Maybe it's meeting spaces for groups on campus. it smells to me like they are going to look to the university and other departments maybe to help subsidize this thing. Am I reading that right?
Yeah, I think they're trying to get an outside partner, like some sort of a health organization or something like that to help out. I've kind of looked around at some of the stadiums when we've had Oregon State's playing on the road. Those Cal's got something like that. They've got a medical outfit that does their business at the stadium. But they've got to probably get some classrooms in there or some sort of learning space in there. And they've got to get a commercial partner that's willing to pay something to be able to use part of the stadium, behind the seating. It just doesn't pencil out anymore. And that's just not an Oregon State problem. That's an every FBS problem in the country problem, because every school is eventually going to have to look at their stadium and go, geez, we're not getting the people coming in here, but the cost of constructing these things is going up and up and up.
Nick Daschle of the Oregonian with us. Part of this survey that Oregon State sent out included some really cool photographs of some of the areas inside the stadium that they may bring. And I want to, I sent you some screenshots, but they have patio lounges that are sort of have like fire pits and couches. They've got kind of the a beer garden feel to it. Elevated patio seats. They've got ledge seats that would have a private stadium entrance and flat screen TVs throughout and private restrooms. They've got club seats, the Toyota club seats that are currently in the east side of the stadium. They're saying they can bring wider padded seats with more leg room to the west side of the stadium. They have loge boxes. That would be Founders Loge boxes that would be on the west side of the stadium that would include like wait service to come to you. And they also have living room boxes, which are interesting. It's kind of like boxes that could seat 4 to 8 people. And then luxury suites, of course, that would be more widely available. So they're kind of filling out the season ticket holders to see what are you interested in. I'm not typical, and I pretty much shot all of that down and said, I'm here for the football. But what are they getting at there? I mean, are they really going that luxurious, or are they just trying to they testing the waters, in your opinion?
No, I think, yeah, they're totally testing the waters, because, I mean, those are the spaces that are going to make them a lot of money if there's a lot of interest. I just don't know what the interest is. And I mean, I kind of look at this like, I know people think, why would you spend that kind of money on something like that? And, it's like having a boat. I mean, if your boat is 7 football games a year and you want to have a nice experience, that's your $10,000 or $15,000 or whatever you'd spend on a boat for a year. That's your deal. I mean, I could see that, but I don't know where, but I look at just my experience going to games, when I take the kids, they couldn't care less about the game. What they care about is, What kind of food options are there? And Dad, hey, show me how to keep score or something like that. The stuff that goes on in the field, they don't really care that much about. So and there's got to be a lot of those people that have those people that just go for the atmosphere, not really what's going on the field necessarily. So they got to find other ways to generate income that might not be totally related to the football.
And I got to be honest, one of the last questions on the survey was, would you be willing to increase your contribution in order to fund world-class athletic facilities for student-athletes? And my answer is like, no. I buy those tickets. I mostly give them away. I don't sit in them. And I'm paying for the sporting event. Like, I'm not paying to create the Taj Mahal. But I'm not, again, I don't think I'm typical. I probably shouldn't have even filled out the survey.
No, I mean, I'm probably with you a little bit on that. The world class. I mean, I'm hoping this coronavirus, with all this corona, the one good thing that comes out of coronavirus is we get a little bit more perspective on college athletics. I'm not sure we will, but I'm hoping that there's going to be some. We're going to come back a little bit to the real world and not be spending as much money as we are right now on all these things just to keep up with the Alabamas and the and you know, Texas is the world.
Dashiell, I appreciate you, man. Thank you for making time.
All right, we'll see you.
As always, enlightening, good stuff. Oregon State fans, I want you to tweet at me. You know, you tell me, are you there for the facility? How much does the facility matter? Because to me, it is part, it, like they talk about sports being the front porch. And I think sometimes it's like, you know, in my backyard, I got kind of a corner of the backyard where I'll put like, all right, you know, we got an old patio chair there that I need to toss out. I'll set it there. There's a piece of plywood there. I'll set it against the fence. You know, I don't put it out like on the front porch. And because my wife would be all over me, be like, that's terrible. People could see that. It's out on the front. You know, and that's not what she sounds like, but, you know, you get the idea. But the bottom line is Oregon State has kind of done that with Reser Stadium. I think it's why they need to fix the west side. But I'm not in favor of, like, I don't think you need the Brazilian hardwood and the etched glass and the leather seats. I don't know that you need all that. I just think it needs to look good. Doesn't need to be over the top, but it needs to be good. You tell me. You agree with that? 503-417-7575. Much more ahead. Well, we got a lot to get through on today's show. The Culligan Water Cooler Report, brought to you by the good people at Culligan. This is where we kick around things that you can talk about around the water cooler. Meet me
at the water cooler. Welcome to the Culligan Water Cooler Report. If we're talking about it, they'll be talking about it. Brought to you by Culligan Water Company.
Pretty cool because I had the people with Culligan out at the house this morning, and I mean out at the house because we are practicing social distancing. I wanted to get our water tested, so I said, can we do that from outside the house? And yes, it turns out they can do that. But bottom line being, we kicked it around off the top of the show. Bad thing happened to Alabama Adriana today on the way to work. She had an incident where she was assaulted by somebody getting off the max. And I think, you know, that's the thing we kicked around in the beginning of the show. And I literally heard from one of the good people at the Culligan company this morning via my phone after they heard about the incident with Adriana. They texted me saying how disappointing that was to hear that that happened to her. So I'm encouraged that the police have been talking with her. If you missed it, grab the podcast at the beginning of the show. And you can hear all about it. And, you know, it's what we have been talking about literally on the commercial breaks. My wife and I, Judah, I know we've been kicking it around, too. But I want to thank the good people at Culligan for their sponsorship of the Culligan Water Cooler Report. It's brought to you by Culligan, of course. All right, coming up the 2 o'clock hour.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.